Hey, welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show that brings you the news on a geekly basis, whenever that may be. As always, it's your boy, it's your host Dom, aka Brother Dom all over the internet, aka Tuxedo Flask, aka Hot Pilgrim, aka Soldier 70 Swish, aka Danny Fandom, aka The Nerd Nick Ken, aka Jason Mimosa, aka Commissioner Gordon Ramsay, aka Looking Like a Snack Pack, Attack on Titanfall, The House of Usher's Confessions of a Shopaholic, and once again, I'm joined by the leanest, the meanest, the coolest, never the foolest. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
This boy's out of control, homie.
Woo!
Alright, hello all, it is me, it's Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, The Snow Queer on Tumblr, Steph, aka Steph Boyardee, aka the Eighth Hokage, aka Madame Mimosa, aka Critical Plenty, aka Sherlock Tomes, aka Fancy Drew, aka The Last Hairbender. And we're here with our Drunk Holiday episode.
It's the Drunk Holiday episode. No matter what holiday you celebrate, whether it be Hanukkah, Christmas, Boxing Day, Kwanzaa, Winter Solstice, or Monday through Friday, we are here to celebrate that with the gift of hydroxyl groups, if you like O-chem, organic chemistry, in the layman's terms, alcohol. And we've had a little bit to drink.
I've drank a glass, or a glass of wine.
You've had a glass of wine.
A bottle of wine. I've had multiple glasses of wine.
how you doing today, Steph?
I'm good now that I've drunk a bottle of wine.
We are actually recording
a day.
We're recording in person.
Yeah, we're in the same room. It's crazy.
It's the first time since vacation, pretty much.
Yep. Did we record on vacation?
We did. Like one of the
Tuesdays.
I don't
remember.
You were sober.
Who knew?
I think that's when Madame Mimosa made her debut.
Oh yeah, I remember we were recording in the kitchen at the condo.
Yeah, the condo kitchen.
Condo kitchen.
And we're here to do an episode where we answer some nerdy questions and just kind of chit-chat about
chill.
Different stuff. But
I don't know what geeky stuff has happened this week because I haven't been on the internet.
No, I feel like nothing has really happened.
There were some good trailers in front of that whatchamacallit, that Star Wars movie that we
Jedi.
Talked about.
Oh, yeah. You saw it again. And
I saw it a second time. For what it's worth, I liked it more the second time because I felt like the themes made more sense the second time around.
I didn't see it a second time because I was like, you know what? I enjoyed this the first time. I'm just going to watch think pieces and videos.
We recorded right before I went to see it the second time. And after I left the second time, I was like, oh, I feel a lot more positive toward this, and I kind of regret a lot of the things I said, but I'm okay.
You didn't tell any lies, though.
I don't feel like I told a lot of lies, so that's fine.
So, what's anything that already happened this week? Oh, yeah, that, the gay Santa book came out.
Oh, yeah, it's about Santa and Black Santa being Santa, and then his husband Santa, who gets confused for Santa because he's white, but he's actually just Mr. Claus.
Yes, which is quite nice, and
I dig it.
And Jeff Kaplan sat in front of a fire that got looped for a really long time and was the...
What did he actually say in front of that fire? I wasn't paying attention.
So the only thing that I saw he say is the new hero is going to be, and then it like glitches out.
There's another hero coming?
There always
like
is.
Like a new player?
Like a new character, yeah.
Nice.
It's about on a rotation of like 3 a year and maybe like 2 maps a year or something.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they wanted to keep living, so there's more characters are coming.
That's fair.
And when he goes to say who it is, it glitches out so that we don't know who it is because it's like a big old troll joke. But other than that,
Jeff Kaplan's a troll. No one's surprised.
Yep. So it's just him sitting in front
big
of a U-log.
Jeff.
Big old Big Daddy Jeff.
Yikes.
Bringing the nerfs, bringing the buffs when we get Big Daddy Jeff in the buff. But yeah, he just had a fire. The boom mic hit him. He had a sign that said, I need healing. You know, ate a cookie. And it was the most watched thing on Twitch, like with 35,000 views on Christmas Eve. So.
Nice.
Good stuff. For the listeners, what are you drinking today, Steph? What's your drink choice?
I am on I'm at the end of a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc, and because it was the only bottle of white wine in my house when I left to come to Dom's house, and I didn't feel like suffering through a bottle of Merlot. And when I'm done with that, I am going to be drinking some Angry Orchard that has been topped off with Goldschlager.
So, Angrier Orchard.
Some Angrier Orchard.
Nice. I've had some whiskey and Coke, and now I'm drinking a nice craft beer. It's hoppy, per
the
usual.
He's behind me.
I'm behind. I had a shot of, what, Goldschlager, and you had the shot of Coco?
Creme de Coco.
Coco Life?
Coco Loco, yeah.
Coco Loco. And then I have a Not Your Father's Root Beer.
Coco, you know,
I'm in love
Crash
with the Coco.
Sister.
Yeah, that's her name, right?
Yeah, Coco.
Okay. I don't remember.
She's cool.
What's the girlfriend's name?
Ida K. Who cares? Something. Cocos was important.
Coco Chanel Bandicoot?
Yeah.
We got some questions from listeners and friends and homies.
We sure do.
We're going to go through that because that's kind of what we do this time. So kind of how we interact with listeners. So question number one from friend Heather. Is Kylo Ren a virgin or nah?
And we talked about this a little while ago. And we're kind of split.
I think we're split, yeah.
I am solidly on the side of virgin, because he feels like the kind of, like, incel who would be like, I'm just being cucked by those guys in the Resistance. Like, I could get any woman if they weren't just, like, idiots who were, like, swayed by this Resistance garbage. And, I mean, like, a guy who is chill and getting laid on the regular is not the guy who, like, destroys an entire console with his lightsaber and overcompensates in everything he does.
That's one way to look at it. See, I was coming from the other end. Like, Kylo Ren cares too much about, like, force and the power and all that kind of stuff to see a woman as an object. So I think that there's not a lot of lust with the man one way or another. Now, is he a virgin or not? I'm torn. I feel like he doesn't care. So he might be. But I feel like he's felt the pleasures of another human being and doesn't care.
That's a hot take.
We're looking at this in a way as assuming he likes women, though.
Yeah. I feel like that stands to reason. I feel like Kylo Ren's one of the few people in the Star Wars universe that you can point to and be like, that is a heterosexual.
I don't know. I don't feel that way. I'm not seeing it. Because that would require him to find attraction, either mentally or sexually, to a person. And I don't see him doing that.
I mean, I could see him as, like, I don't know. I feel like he is super, like, he's so alt-right coded that I feel like he has to be, like, super, like, super straight, super gender roles, like, super...
Do you see him as alright coded? Because I see Hux in the First Order that way, but I see him as just... There has to be a Force user on them, you know what I mean?
I feel like Kylo is also... I think the First Order as a whole is very alright coded, but I feel like Kylo is also alright coded, and that's part of why he wasn't redeemed in the last...
Do you think that alt-right movie. Men care for sex? Because I've seen arguments that, like, even pickup artists don't really desire or enjoy sex when they ultimately get the chance to. It's more about having a power thing.
I was going to say, I think in as much as it gives them power over a gender they feel is lesser than them.
And they think it's power, but it's not.
They think it's power, but it's just them being jackasses.
So, Kylo Ren virgin or nah?
Still nah.
I'm going to go with yes. But not
I mean,
lot.
Like, still virgin.
Still has had... He's not a virgin.
But has not
had a lot of sex.
Yeah, I go with he is a virgin, but is, like, those chads in the Resistance, like...
You can still get cucked as someone who has a lot of sex.
Someone who still has sex.
You know, I feel like that's what people miss out on.
I think what's most wild about all these questions, we got a lot of Star Wars questions. Both of my family members who sent a question are Star Wars questions, too. So
what do we got? What do we got from the fam?
From my younger brother, what do you think of Kylo Ren's weird shirtless scene?
What do I think of it?
Yeah.
I liked it a lot, actually. Not so much from the shirtlessness. Well, I mean, people have seen it enough, and this isn't really spoilers. But I maybe a little bit, so skip, like, a minute ahead if you care, but it's not really. Rey says, can you put a shirt on? And Kylo Ren doesn't say no. He just doesn't say anything. And he just stands there. Looking confused. So I really enjoyed this scene because it felt like the context of the situation, it didn't feel like they were planned. It felt like it just happened and neither of the participants had too much control over when these events happened.
Yeah, I think that...
It didn't feel as contrived, you know what I mean? Our conversation just ended. Oh, now the phone rings. Like in sitcoms, you know?
I think the two things that I felt about it, one is it felt... ripped from fan fiction. Literally, like, lifted dead from a fanfic. This, like, oh, I have to look at you when you're shirtless in this inconvenient situation.
With high-waisted pants.
In these very high-waisted pants.
Oh, man.
But, like, it's inconvenient, but there's also sexual tension. Da-da-da-da. Like, that's very fanfiction scenario.
Someone forgot the sexual tension, if you ask me.
Right. But my other thought about it is that, like, Adam Driver is very broad, but I don't feel any attraction to his body. Like, even, like...
I don't think people who are attracted to Adam Driver are attracted to his body.
I was gonna say, because, like, there are guys that, like, even though, like, I don't find their face attractive, I'm like, okay, yeah, but you, like, you look good. Like, your body is good. But, like, Adam Driver is not one of those people for either task for me. Like, I...
But he's not, like, schlubby or weak. He's just, like...
Yeah, he's very, like, he's ripped, but he's just very broad and not...
Like... Adam Driver could whoop somebody's ass.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not going to be, like, some Rocky-level shit. It's going to be like, yo, I'm stronger than you.
Yeah, I mean, the man's a Marine. He was a Marine.
Really?
He was a Marine before he went to Juilliard. He went into the Marines after 9/11, and then when he was out...
Is that before or after he was in Girls? So before.
It was before he was in Girls. But, like, I mean, like, and he does some good shit. Like, he has, like, a charity that's, like, basically devoted to, like... undoing toxic masculinity in veterans, like, encouraging them to, like, feel their feelings.
The opposite of Kylo Ren.
But he is.
But also, you don't turn that role down. You're like, I'm gonna be in Star Wars?
Yeah, like... Sure. And, like, he's such a, like, a pretentious, like, method actor, too. Like, he's not the kind of guy who would show up at, like, a Star Wars premiere and be like, hey, guys, I love this and I love you! Like John Boyega or, like,
he goes in as Kylo Ren.
He'd be like... He's like... I'll accept an Oscar for this role, but I'm not interested in interacting with the fans. Like,
which is weird, because John Boyega is like, I hugged him, because I knew he was stressed from all these roles.
But, like, I don't find the man attractive in the very least bit. Not his body, not his face, like...
But his personality.
But, like, I respect what he's trying to do.
That's Adam Driver's probably had a lot of sex, Kylo Ren is not.
There we go.
So how'd you feel? The scene felt fanfiction-y to you?
It felt very fanfiction-y to me.
But is that a bad thing?
I don't know, because, like, I mean, because I am a pure and thoughtful human being who's never done any wrong in her life, I have never read a Reylo fanfic.
Okay. I was going to say you're lying to listeners, but no.
Excuse me?
Go ahead.
Say again?
You got it, fam.
So I have no idea if this was a common trope before this movie or not, but it's the Forspawn thing and the, like, oh, it's so inconvenient that we happen to have to communicate at this point when I'm undressed, like, just screams of fanfic trope.
Especially since it was a dude then in a state of undress, so it wasn't like fanservice for the viewer, it was like fanservice to people who would write and read fanfiction, I think.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, in any kind of, like, unwilling bond kind of fanfic, like, that's, like, a trope across fandoms, like, whether it's, like, magically engaged by accident, or, like, undercover as married, or, like, any of those...
Fake out, make out.
Yeah, like, Danny fake Phantom. Out, make out. Like, any of those things, like...
So this scene has definitely happened to Princess Bubblegum and Marceline before, in fic you've read?
Yeah, like, it's happened to Bucky and Steve, it's happened to...
It happened to Bucky and Steve, I feel like, in the movies. You just gotta, like, look between the lines a little bit.
Like,
I saw a great video about, actually, Civil War. It says that the person believed in previous edits they were pulling more from the comics, and that Sharon Carter was, like, a sleeper agent for Hydra and didn't know it. Because, like, some of Zemo's plan could have, like, worked better if he had someone from the inside. Because of, like, Steve just happens to always know where Bucky is, and we're supposed to just believe that. And it's like, no, Sharon Carter knew because Zemo knew, and he was telling him. Telling her to tell him, so...
Look at this cute dog making, like, a bird noise.
A bird noise on the dog? It's going to be in the episode because I'm not editing
this.
It's
good, it's fine.
You want to jump into some more questions? You said you had two from the family, right?
Yeah, my mom's question, which is also a Star Wars question, is, can the Force actually use to save someone from space? Now, I guess, that's canon.
Do we want to get into, what this is referring to?
Yeah, so, spoiler alert again.
3 minutes, or whatever.
Yeah, in episode 8, the Leia uses the Force to... She's blown out of a spaceship, and we think she's dead. And
because, of course.
Because, yeah, because that's what happens when you go into the vacuum of space with no suit on. But
unless you're Batman.
Was able to use the Force to pull herself back into the spaceship and rescue herself, but it, like, obviously the void of space still had some physical effects on her, and she falls into a coma shortly after. But, I mean, on the flip side, on one side, this seemed like a bit much.
It felt like an ass pool, but, like, not outside the realms of what could be could happen, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you can move giant stuff, you could theoretically move giant stuff to you, and but from your perspective, it looked like you'd be moving to it.
Yeah, and I feel like, here's the thing that I think is kind of an ass pull. So, actually, I finished reading it after I saw, the Last Jedi the first time, but the book, Star Wars from a certain Point of View, which is, like, 40 short stories from 40 different authors from A New Hope from the perspective of background characters. And one of these stories is about Yoda, who is desperate to train young Skywalker, but he's not interested at all in Luke. He wants to train Leia. He thinks that she's the one who's going to balance the Force and bring the power of light back to the universe, because he's not interested at all in Luke. He thinks that he's too impulsive and...
Weird little sand boy.
Yeah, weird little sand boy.
Which, you know, he did. Ultimately, he did fuck many things
ultimately,
up.
This gay little sand boy was not the best Last Jedi.
Apparently in Star Wars Force Unleashed, which is a video game, the guy you play as on the dark side, he's a dark side person, and his last name... is Starkiller, and he pulls down a base with his power. Like, so the name Starkiller was not only, apparently, that was like
that
Luke
was
Skywalker's original name.
Be, yeah.
And then it was a character's name before it was a base.
In the novels, which I read profusely as a high schooler, is a... Did you say gay?
I did say gay.
I mean, I guess reading Star Wars novels is gay culture, but fine.
like Rick Sanchez and the Babadook.
There is... I think in the Han Solo trilogy, there is a Starkiller weapon that the Empire has, which is what Starkiller Base was based on, and what, like, the power of it. It, like, it fed from a star and could destroy a planet, like a solar system kind of thing.
That is dope.
But,
I mean, the Force can do whatever it wants, so I'd say yes,
yeah,
it's definitely possible to do
that. I think,
didn't it keep Padme alive? Or didn't they say that it could keep people alive?
Yeah, well, that was, the Emperor had promised Anakin that there was, like, some kind of, like, Sith knowledge that could keep someone alive that he wasn't aware of, that the Jedi didn't know about, and that's why he should come
true?
To the dark side. I don't know whether it's true or not.
If it's true,
just been
then
something.
Yeah. If you can keep another person alive, you can keep yourself alive, and then you can fly. Pull.
Yeah, I think what is... odd about the situation is that, like, what would have had to happen is that she would have had to, like, not just pull herself physically to the other spaceship, but modify her
bubble.
Atmosphere such that she had some oxygen to go into her body so that she wasn't crushed by the vacuum of space.
So basically what we're saying is the character is essentially Steven Universe in
yeah,
space.
And could pop, like, her little, like... shield bubble around herself in order to pull herself in.
Yeah, like the bubble shield from Sonic 3. Simple.
So, yeah, if she was... I think if she is rawly strong enough in the Force, she could do that instinctively, because I don't...
You'd have to auto-do it before you die.
Because I don't think that she... In the extended universe novels that are canon to the current canon, she has not been, like... professionally trained in the Force, but if she is rawly powerful,
well, neither
enough,
was
she
Rey, but like
probably
she
do
could
it
do
by
stuff.
Yeah, like by instinct.
Cool.
So
well,
yeah,
settles it. Yes,
that
it's possible.
That is how the Force works, Han Solo.
And with that, we're going to take a break before we jump into some of the meat of this, because, like I said, we've been drinking, so, you know, alcohol goes through you. So we'll be back in a second.
We may or may not have just taken a break, listeners.
Who knows?
It's a mystery.
There's a question for... So, we have a lot of Star Wars questions, because I had a friend group that was...
Had just seen it.
They were just talking about it for some reason. So, question two. What do Hutts like on their pizza?
Hutts.
And I don't think there's a Pizza Hut joke. I think it was just a question.
Yeah, so when you read me this question earlier, I was trying real hard to think of a pun that was like Solaroni or something.
I'm
like,
say women. That's what Jabba the... He had chainmail.
Cheesecake.
They like cheesecake on their pizza.
Cheesecake is what they like on their pizza.
I'm good with that. Question three. What's our favorite force power? Dark or light side?
Man, that's tricky. Because, like, this, like, the I'm doing, like, a...
A fingering
suggestion.
Motion. The trick.
Like, the force... Jedi mind trick is kind of, like, mind rapey. But boy, would I like to use it on, like, dudes in bars.
So, like,
which is how Obi-Wan does use it in the prequels. The guy's
so, like mind consent-y.
The guy was like, do you want to buy some death sticks? And Obi-Wan was like, you don't want to sell me death sticks. And he was like, I don't want to sell you death sticks. And I was like, you want to go home and rethink your life.
So using the
mind, rethink my life.
So using the mind trick to not be harassed, I think, is not the worst thing you could do with that. I like that. I was just going to say Force Lightning because it's dope. But
Force Lightning is pretty baller.
Like, it's not great to do. But, yeah, I like the mind trick, you know?
I mean, Force Lightning is a nice thing to have in your pocket as, like, a self-defense mechanism.
Like, the Force Discharge. Maybe not call it that, but, like...
Yeah, that sounds gross.
Well, Discharge is a moving Pokemon that's electric. But, yeah, I guess Force Discharge, like, is kind of...
Like, it's like,
Is it the episode name? Dark side, force discharge.
I'm on the period. I've got some force discharge.
Exactly. I would have went with sex, but I guess period, yes, that's fine. I'm going to go with the mind trick, yeah. It's like, you will not vote Republican.
You please do not vote for Trump.
Actually, you know what? No, I would say, you will have empathy for all people. You can make
your
own... Being
different is not wrong.
And then you can make your own decisions. Hope you knew we were going to get political.
Hey.
Let's skip some of these Star Wars questions and come back. But that first question was from our buddy Zach. So thanks, Zach. Here's one. Which breed of dog do you think would make the best animal companion during a zombie apocalypse and why? Or actually, any animal is how it was phrased.
Any animal.
Yeah. We can do dog breeds first.
Let's go with dogs first.
I mean, I'm biased, but I'm going to say Rottweiler because they're really loyal and will listen. And they also know when to be cuddly.
I would say, yeah, like, Doberman or German Shepherd, because they're, like, breed trained to be, like, kind of, not necessarily attack animals, but, like, defensive animals, so that would be good during zombie apocalypse. I've been doing a lot of research on dogs used in war for work, so.
You know what's actually, to be practical about it, any dog that locks its jaws when it bites you, because, and stick with me on this, if you get bitten during the zombie apocalypse, you're turning into a zombie.
Yeah.
I'd rather a dog lock its jaws on one person and, like, go, like, its mindset says go for the kill, rather than a dog that would just go around biting everybody.
Yeah.
Because, so, like, you have a great companion, but if something goes wrong, it's going to also minimize...
Damage.
Because of its nature.
Yeah. Fun fact, Dobermans were used by the Marines in World War II to retake the nation of... Or the island of Guam from the Japanese. And there is a monument to the Dobermans who were killed. There were 23 Dobermans, I think. It's 23 Dobermans who were killed during the retaking of Guam from the Japanese. And there is a war dogs monument in Guam.
See, we were chatting about monuments in one of these breaks. And look, you can't fault a dog for its deeds. Because it only does what it was taught. So I want to get rid of these Confederate statues, but if they had, like, a Confederate dog, I'd be like, Well, the dog was only following orders. Like, the
he
dog
was just following orders.
It thought it was helping.
It was just doing what its human told it to do.
A dog will get pet by anybody.
Yeah.
Like, there's no bad boys. There's only good boys. Whether they're following good orders is not...
Yeah.
A person has to teach a dog to be evil, is all I'm saying.
That's the truth.
That's a fact. I'll pet any dog
in
my body.
Any dog.
Dogs are great. I love dogs.
Good.
You like dogs?
I do like dogs. I wouldn't get a dog because I don't... I don't have the time or the energy for a dog, but I like to pet other people's dogs.
We have the emotion for dogs.
That's about the same as I feel about kids. Like, I'll play with other people's kids, but I don't have the time or the emotion for my own kids.
Well, if you don't adopt, it's a lot more strenuous to have a kid.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of strain on my body that I'm not interested in.
I heard it's fun. I heard giving birth is fun.
Oh, yeah, did you?
I didn't actually hear that. Look, I've never heard that even from, like, cisgender male people, like, who literally can't have babies, like,
tell me about that. Tell me how giving birth is a good time.
Like, no, they're not gonna make that lie. It's rough. That's
nice.
What other questions we got? One came from somebody in a Discord. What was our first nerdy pursuit? For me, it was just Sonic. No surprises.
Pursuit or fandom?
I feel like this is the same thing, right?
Well, I mean, like, fandom is just, like, I am engaged with this thing, whereas pursuit is, like, I personally put energy into this thing.
My answer's so, the
like,
same.
Like, like, a video game is something, like, you put energy into, but, like, reading a book and then also, like, writing fan fiction for it or something, I feel
so it's the first thing you put effort into.
Yeah, so I feel like...
I have to say with Sonic.
So, yeah, like, that's, like, a video game I feel like counts for both.
Well, I drew, like, fan art and had, like, drawing books and stuff like that.
Yeah. Definitely Harry Potter, because even before I was, like, into Harry Potter fanfiction, me and my, like, fifth grade best friend had, like, written, like, self-insert fanfic, like, before we knew what fanfic was, where we would, in, like, fifth and sixth grade, yeah, we were,
I'm not gonna ask many names, do I know the friend?
You don't know the friend, okay. But we self-inserted ourselves as Cho Chang and Cho's sister Caitlin Chang. And I was Cho Chang and in love with Harry Potter, and she was Caitlin Chang and in love with Ron. And we, like, would, like, whenever...
So you wrote it then?
Well, we didn't write it, but we would, like, anytime we had, like, a coloring book or something, we would, like, color, like, we had these Precious Moments coloring books that had a lot of, like, marriage imagery
in
them.
Well, the reason I said that is because you got to be with Harry, and she got to be with Ron.
So, well, yeah, like, I was the lead friend in this, but, like, she would,
the lead friend.
We would, like, I would color, like, any of the boy-girl pictures in our Precious Moments coloring book as Harry and Cho, and okay. She would color her pictures as Caitlin Chang, who was a completely made-up self-insert character, because Cho Chang does not have a sister in the books.
So, like, not literally, but almost a Mary Sue.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we were doing the fanfic before we knew that fanfic was a real thing.
That's solid, then. That is good. That is good. Ooh. So, that's our first pursuits. But what was your first, like, nerdy thing you got into?
That's hard to say. I was reading, like, Wizard of Oz, Lord of the Rings, and, like, fourth and
something third that you've, like, felt involved, like... something that you felt a connection to, though.
Probably
I'm pretty sure I played Legend
of
Zelda before I played Sonic.
Probably Wizard of Oz, because okay. My mom started me on them pretty early. The Wizard of Oz, there's, like, I mean, like, there's the movie, but there are at least 14 books that were written by L. Frank Baum, and then, like, other books after that I've never read, because that's not part of my personal canon.
That's ridiculous.
But the Wizard of Oz, like, extended universe within those 14 books is, like, really rich and interesting, and very feminist, like, proto-feminist, and, a lot of, like, girls saving the world kind of things, and...
I'm laughing at something else, by the way.
What?
I'm laughing at something else.
Okay, I was like, I'll fight you.
I appreciate feminism, no, I'm laughing at something else.
But yeah, like, the books are just, they're, like, really great and wonderful, and the Return to Oz movie that had, like, TikTok and some weird shit in it, like... Yeah,
go
like
ahead.
By like TikTok by Kesha. No, yeah, but the robot TikTok from the Wizard of Oz books is, like, kind of decried as, like, this really weird, dark, like, misrepresentation of Oz, but, like, it's just, it is a misrepresentation, but it isn't...
bad?
Bad. Like, the Oz books are kind of dark and weird and strange and macabre, but it's good. And I've never seen Return to Oz, but the understanding I have that is that people, like, have only seen it and the Judy Garland movie and have no familiarity with the books and are making a judgment call on the Return to Oz movie based on the fact that it's nothing like the Judy Garland movie.
That's tough. That sucks.
Whereas the Judy Garland movie is actually kind of like a... not whitewashing in a race way, but whitewashing in, like, a...
probably, like, the original use for it before we had whitewashing as a racial term.
Yeah, whitewashing in, like, the sense that, like...
like, the... taking all the drugs out of a Mickey Mouse cartoon, whitewashing. Like, yeah. Sanitizing.
Yeah, sanitizing, yeah. Like, the original... The Wonderful Wizard of Oz book is a kind of dark and strange book. And they kind of took that darkness and the strangest out of it to make it into a movie.
Okay.
And so that was probably my first fandom, is that my mom gave me this first 14 books. That was literally the first book she ever bought online, was, I lost the 14th book in the series, and she bought it online to replace it.
Fam, I knew you had a history with The Wizard of Oz, but I know it was so storied and sentimental to you. That was an info dump for me.
Yeah, that was nice. Now you know some deets about my life that you didn't know before.
Here's a quick one, also from Count Ibaka. Favorite superhero as a child? Do you have one?
Ooh, as a child?
I'm gonna go with Spider-Man. That's the only one I really, really knew. I just thought he was really cool.
I don't know if I had a favorite superhero as a child, because I didn't really care about superheroes when I was little.
Neither did I. That's where I'm going. That was my favorite. I still like Spider-Man. He's probably my favorite superhero even
cool,
now.
Yeah.
Just because he's like a chill guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I was way more into Disney than I was into superheroes when I was a kid. Maybe Batman.
So Darkwing Duck,
Batman.
Then? I guess Darkwing Duck may have been my favorite superhero.
The hero who quacks in the night.
Do you count Goku? Like, I thought the Flash was cool, even though we only had action figures of him.
Yeah, I mean, well, I didn't watch Batman Animated Series till I was an adult. I didn't watch any of Dragon Ball Z till I was an adult, or Sailor Moon or anything.
You watched Sailor Moon till you were an adult?
No, I didn't.
Me and my brother got down with Sailor Moon when I was, like...
the only Toonami I ever watched was, like, a few episodes of Rurouni Kenshin when it was on during the day, and they called it Samurai X. That was the only thing I ever...
I used to watch Tenchi Muyo. And do you ever have stories of, like, before you hit puberty, but you knew you were reacting to something?
Uh-huh.
That was what Tenchi Muyo and all his, like, harem did for me. Like, not so much him, because he was, like, a douchey dude.
Uh-huh.
There was this girl with, like, pink hair, and she was a scientist. I'm like, something about this character is resonating with me. And I don't know what it is, because I have not really properly hit puberty yet. But now that I think back on it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I must have been attracted to this person.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But also, I cared about the story for some reason. I actually saw Sailor Moon before I saw Dragon Ball Z. So, like, what's this show that looks like Sailor Moon? But it's clearly not, because
anime has that style.
I'm like, oh, shit! Laser beams! Cool. Well, we do have a good bit of questions. Before we get back into the Star Wars stuff, because we got a lot of those, here's a question from our buddy Ryan. Why don't people from the Marvel Universe move away from New York? And by extension, why do people live in Gotham that appear to have money?
I feel like why do people live in Gotham is a better question than why don't you move away from New York? Because Gotham has like a higher concentration of psychotic villains per capita. Like, and... The only major superhero in Gotham is Batman versus, like, the Avengers and, like, all those other shits are based in New York. So, like, there's a higher ratio of superheroes to supervillains in New York.
So you could see why you'd stay in New York, because it doesn't feel like super... Like,
it's more of a balance in New York versus Gotham.
So in New York, you feel like you have the same chance of getting shot by a random street thug as you do by getting killed by, like, a supervillain.
Yeah, and also, like, not all of the superheroes in New York have that, like, vow of non-murder that Batman does. Like, I just liked a thing on Tumblr that I'm going to eventually reblog.
Can you that root beer, by the way? I'm on my second drink, fam. Audience. And it's a bottle opener.
that second, or I don't know if I've actually reblogged it yet, but I saw it on Tumblr. But apparently, like, Alfred is, like, SAS, and he's got, like, MI6 training and shit, and, like...
I can believe that.
He does not have the vow of non-murder that Batman has, so, like, if the Joker comes into the Batcave and Alfred's the only one there, he's gonna fucking murder him.
It, like, doesn't quite go the way that Joker would want it to.
He's just gonna shoot him in the face.
I think I saw it somewhere, it's like, you know, Master Wayne has a vow of non-violence. I do not, however, share that restriction.
I don't have anything like that. Like, cock shotgun, like...
That's an amazing thing.
Which is delightful to me. Is that open? I thought that was open.
It's a pop top. I guess the thing with New York is not so much that there's not enough heroes to deal with the villains, because they all get dealt with. It's the fact that, like, someone with superpowers might come here to stop Iron Man and the Hulk, and leave Hulk collateral damage, like when the Chitauri came in, they fucked up New York.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they ultimately die, but, like, that's the whole plot of Civil War, right? Like, or at least Homecoming. Well, part of Civil War.
It was like, I mean, part of, like, the struggle between Age of Ultron and Civil War was, like, these people came in and caused $100 billion of damage, like, and we need to...
People died, not because of you, but, like... Yeah, that's the one thing that sucked about Civil War is, like... Oh, you know, you have no restrictions. Like, if the Hulk wasn't here, we all would have died. And if Iron Man wasn't here, y'all motherfuckers were going to nuke New York.
Yeah.
And that was S.H.I.E.L.D. Those were people... That was the government.
The good side was going to nuke New York. It wasn't even North Korea, which I live in fear of every day.
I don't, because I live off of a blast radius. I have to live with... I have to be in Fallout 4. You know how many glitches there are in Fallout 4? So I guess, why do people live in New York? Just the price is right?
The price is absolutely not right.
Look, you might meet a superstar in New York. I can't tell you, Ryan, or audience. I have to imagine there's some reason.
Because we're all gonna
die one day, and it might as well be a cool way.
I was gonna say, like, I live in New York, but it's not in a New York where the Avengers exist. I only live in New York because that's where the industry that I work in exists. Like, if I lived in the Avengers New York, and this is the thing that I came, that, like, was, like, a personal struggle during, like, Civil War, was that, like, if I lived in the Avengers New York, I would be 100% Team Tony. Like, absolutely, I want these people with superpowers to have some sort of oversight to them.
But would you, though?
Because...
So I'm thinking about, like, would the oversight save me?
But, like, personally, well, like, in the Civil War situation...
You want there to be accountability no matter what.
Accountability, yeah. Like, the conflict was, should Captain America be able to go off on his fucking own and save his gay boyfriend? Or...
I do agree with that.
Should there be some sort of oversight? And I was like,
and I agree with that too.
Absolutely want him to save his gay boyfriend. But...
I guess that's the problem with the Sokovia Accords, is that they didn't necessarily...
They didn't take into account how gay Captain America was.
Well, they did not. I guess they didn't... They don't account for the fact that, like, if the government does, in fact, say, we... Because all... The only thing the government's doing is saying, we don't care that these many people are going to die. They just... They sign off on the fact that people are going
to
die.
We just wanted them to sign off on it, yeah. But, yeah, I think that living in Marvel New York is less dangerous than living in
Gotham.
DC Gotham.
That was just something that I brought up just as, like, a corollary.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, like, there are other superheroes in Gotham besides Batman, but none of them are powered. Like, it's all just, like, it's Batwoman also fucking shit up with her fists. Like, all of the Robins are just, like, dudes with gymnastic ability. Like,
well, here's the thing. We don't know about Batman, right? Like, if we live in Gotham, we wouldn't know that he won't kill people. So we have to be under Joker's siege. So, like, he's making it worse. Like, yeah. We think there's a guy saving us, and he won't kill the Joker.
Yeah.
Like, killing is wrong.
But that, I feel like, you could probably count even in, like,
him.
Yeah, but, like, even, like, Steve Rogers is a soldier. Like, he knows that sometimes you have to shoot a person in the face to stop them. Like,
yeah, he does.
So, like, I feel like...
I bet you he never freezes anybody, though. He won't use an ice ray.
Trigger warning, Steve Rogers. Steve Rogers is like, I'm triggered by this ice ray.
And real trigger, not like internet trigger.
You're just like, I've actually been through this and I'm not interested in ice rays anymore.
Chill out.
There was a...
That's one of the best movies that exists. I'm sorry, I don't care what people think.
What, the
one with Arnold in it? Batman Forever?
That was like one of the... That was the Batman movie that I grew up on. We watched it a lot when I was a kid. That was the one that had Arnold and it had Uma Thurman and Poison Ivy. Yeah, that was the only one we ever watched.
My rubber lips. And Uma Thurman's like, I also brought my rubber lips. And Rob's like, gross.
Hashtag me too.
Wow. You can make that joke. I can't make that joke.
I didn't realize how dark I was getting as when I said that.
We have to make jokes to get through this life. This life is fucked up.
Oh man, what was I going to say? I was looking through back through my Instagram photos because I had a reference that I wanted to make.
You can find it because this question I don't think relates to you, but it's from our friend Nancy. What's the best Super Smash Brothers game?
Melee.
Fuck me. I'm gonna go say 4, the one for Wii U and DS, 3DS. Melee has like a lot of like the combat stuff as a fighting game.
Uh-huh.
But I'd say 4 is a much better game. Like Brawl would have been good, but the tripping mechanic and like the balance issues were bad. But The Wii U one, number 4, it was patched. I mean, it had like it's a game where you can play as Mario and you can fight Sonic.
Uh-huh.
Cloud Strife, Bayonetta, Pac-Man, the Duck Hunt Dog, 18,000 people from Fire Emblem, and Luigi and Wario, but not Waluigi. I don't know. I think it has too much going for it. It's a much better game, I think, than Melee was, even though Melee is like a nice, tight fighting game. I imagine one day they're going to put Smash Bros. On the Switch, and I think they're going to do what they did with Mario Kart. And just port it, not port it, but like make an enhanced version of the Wii U version. Because I'd love them to make a new Smash Bros. Game, but I think it's a waste of their time to make a brand new game from the ground up. I'd say, you know, just balance the 4th one. You know, tone Bayonetta down slightly. Like she's tough but beatable, but tone her down slightly. Put the Ice Climbers in because we have the processing power. We don't have to worry about the 3DS because everybody else came back by now, except for Pichu, which you can argue he evolved or she evolved into Pichu. Or Pikachu. Bring everybody back, balance it up a little bit, give us all like the DLC and make it like Game of the Year edition type thing. Yeah, I'd say 4 was the best one. It's a great party game, it's a great fighting game, it's a great celebration of Nintendo.
Nice.
Yeah, and Sakurai plus Heart and Soul, and I think it's one of the last few games Iwata was involved with, and you know, RIP to him, so
yeah.
I mean, have you played any Smash Bros. Games that you really have like an opinion on?
I mean, I've only played the Wii version, and...
That is, I think, unanimously the worst one.
And and Melee when I was, like, little. So, I mean, or Brawl.
I think some people would say 64 was the worst one. Yeah, Brawl was the Wii one, yeah.
Okay,
the 64 one should have been the worst, but Brawl, you could slip and fall, so...
This is what I was looking for, this picture from Instagram. It says, "Hello, Jarvis, Ms. Rogers, may I be of service? Do you have an 8-foot tall block of ice I can crawl back into? I'm afraid not, sir." And no thanks.
Okay, so maybe he doesn't hate ice. He realizes it can throw a lot away. Here's another one from our buddy Jarrett. Which evil ruler would you rather serve? Palpatine, Snoke, or Cersei Lannister? Or, you know, whoever. Let's go with his original question, but then, like, spread it out. So, Palpatine, Snoke, or Cersei? And let's imagine the Game of Thrones world to be less sexually assaulty. So it's just, I mean, like, the evilness of them and not, like, that part of it.
But still, like, even within, like, the book canon, like, Cersei's whole deal is that she's, like, got, like, mad internalized misogyny. Like, she wishes she were a man so that she could have the power that man has at her.
That's right, Palpatine and Snoke right now.
So, like...
I'm gonna go with Snoke, because he might make you feel like shit, but he didn't seem like he was gonna kill anybody. And he seems easy enough to overthrow.
For real.
Plus the robes.
Yeah, he's got some.
I guess Palpatine got much better. In a hole.
Palpatine got thrown in a hole. And he didn't have the fashion sense that Snoke did. So I'm gonna go with Snoke. Even though he's like hell alt right, because he got some fashion sense, and
you know, was he all right, or did he just want to smash out the good?
And his team did whatever
they felt. He was Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
He was sitting back.
He was just
bring me these force babes.
Right. Exactly.
Sorry, I talked to you so much right there. I'm sorry. I was just excited about Snoke.
No, yeah, I think that's probably where I go, because, I mean, like, Palpatine, like, he manipulates Anakin into, like, literally letting his wife die for...
Apparently nothing.
for no reason, so...
Killed him, so...
Yeah.
Okay, so, any evil ruler in general, who would you pick?
In general...
Any fiction you want. I'm thinking Bowser, because he throws great parties and go-kart events. He's not, like... He doesn't seem to dispose of his team that easily. You know, you don't have a... You've outlived your usefulness moment. You just kind of either die or you live. Like, the Koopa kids are still around that apparently aren't his children. Those are just younglings.
Just kids.
Or I guess Dr. Robotnik / Eggman, because eventually that means you'll overpower him and you'll be the big bad. This has happened in many games.
Are we, like, talking... evil ruler or just, like, villain of the franchise?
You have to have some kind of rule and power. Like, you have to have become a threat. So I guess, like, Lex Luthor doesn't count because he never has control over anything. Or Wily from Mega Man. Eggman has taken over the world a couple times.
Yeah.
Ultron counts. I mean, someone will fall into your boobs if Ultron's the king.
What?
Someone will fall under your boobs if Ultron's
fall
the king.
Under my boobs.
Which, you know, I mean, maybe that's what you want. I don't know. I'm not gonna judge.
I was like, I thought you said something about boobs, and I was like, excuse me? I'm gonna go with Hannibal.
Like, from Ancient Hannibal, or like, Eats People Hannibal?
Like Mads Mikkelsen Hannibal.
You know Mads Mikkelsen, and...
Because Mads Mikkelsen, I feel like, just, like, does... Like, art happens around Mads Mikkelsen.
You know Mads Mikkelsen and Norman Reedus are going to have a baby?
They are. It's beautiful. Guillermo del Toro and Hideo.
Hideo Kojima, what a
brilliant
man.
Are just, like, a weird polyamorous foursome who are going to have a weird brain baby together.
That comes out of the throat and gives you thumbs up.
But yeah, I feel like,
Mads Mikkelsen Hannibal.
Hannibal,
I'm saying Hamilton. I'm sorry, I've been drinking.
different evil genius.
George Washington,
evil genius. Because, like, cannibalism aside, he's all about just kind of like hedonism and like feeling your feelings and it's doing like, what you think is right.
So fucking.
Like, yeah. So fucking. Yeah. Exactly.
But he also wants to eat people.
But, like,
in 2 ways.
Eat people in 2 ways, yeah. And I mean, like...
You think Hannibal, like, is good at foreplay?
Oh, yeah. I've watched this show, Dom.
Oh, my God.
He's...
Hannibal loves to eat.
He loves to eat no matter what.
You think Hannibal eats ass?
Yes. Absolutely.
So this isn't on the questions list, but I'm gonna ask it. Do you think Vegeta eats ass?
I don't know about Vegeta. Is he the one who yells it's over 9,000?
Yeah, he's the Shadow the Hedgehog of Dragon Ball Z, if
then
Goku's
no.
Sonic.
Okay.
You don't think he does? You think he's too proud? Or...
I think he's either too proud or too, like, obsessed with being the one
like
in power.
Alpha?
Yeah, the alpha one, yeah.
See, I don't know, I'm curious to get philosophical. I don't know if Vegeta wants to be alpha necessarily in a relationship, but he wants to be the alpha Saiyan. Okay, here's a question for you, Steph.
Yes.
You've seen Panion stalking with Guard about the enemy,
I sure
right?
have.
Who do you think ate ass first, Panty or Stocking? Because Panty was the quote-unquote slut
Panty.
One, but Stocking was the kinky one. Because Panty just fucked a bunch of dudes. But Stocking was the one who had, like, wild dildos in her room. Stocking's the one, like, she was the one who was, like...
I think it was probably Panty.
Little thicker. Like, who do you think did butt play first?
Probably Panty.
You think so?
I think so.
You may be right. Who do you think wanted to first, though?
Stocking, I don't know.
Because we're not kind of guarded about.
Panty would be down for whatever was offered to her, I think.
Okay.
Versus
Stocking, like,
has,
that's
like,
something
preferences.
She's specific. Okay.
Versus Panty is just like, fuck it, like, whatever kind of sex thing you want to do, I'll do.
Because Stocking did date shit at one point.
Yeah, literally shit.
Yeah, like, literal shit.
Yeah.
Little fecal matter.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta upgrade my guard belt costume. I have...
What's wrong with your garter belt costume?
It didn't have fishnets. Or butt beads. Someone's like, man, this is a good garter belt costume. Yeah, I'm wearing a butt plug. I didn't ask you that. I didn't think you did. This was for me. Just thought you should know. I find it weird that you wear things that are internally. Just as our vernacular goes, was it?
Uh-huh.
Our grammar.
Grammar,
like,
yeah.
People wear tampons, they wear butt plugs. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh...
I don't know if I'd use it for wear for a tampon.
What would you say?
I just like, I have a tampon in. Like, yeah. A tampon is in my body right now. It's not.
But you wouldn't say it, those words. You probably wouldn't mention it, I guess.
I would say, like, I don't know, if someone asked me, I'd be like, I don't know, I'm using a tampon.
Do you think Senketsu and Junkets work as tampons as well?
I mean, they do feed off blood.
Yeah, but, like, not blood that was supposed to be coming out of your body, I feel like.
I don't know.
Were there periods
like,
in Kill la Kill?
I don't know, because, I mean, like, in...
Or were they, like, 8-bit pyramids? Periods.
What like, does that
like,
mean?
Like their graphics were all ape. I don't know. It was just I thought it was vocally funny, so I said it.
I mean, like
bodily fluids are funny to me. Like that comes out of any
genders. Vampire Diaries. So like the vampires can like drink period blood and be okay, and like that's something that
does. Is there any difference between it?
Like they can sense that there is more like fleshy stuff in like period blood.
Do they care?
They don't care. Like they can still live off of it.
Isn't that not the solution then?
Yeah, like isn't that like seriously like what you should do? But I mean, like there's a scene in Memnoch the Devil, which is like a weirdly religious for one of the Vampire Diaries about like Lestat meeting the devil. But at the end of it, he like literally goes down on this girl who's on her period and like licks up her period blood.
And he lives.
And he's fine, yeah.
So that's how you know like vampire fiction was written by too many like cis het men.
Yeah.
Because like, wait, vampires like, I have to feed. Where am I going to get blood?
Literally, it comes out of cis women every week, every month.
Roughly half of our gender just like expels blood that we just have.
Once a month, it's fine.
And you know what we do with it? We throw it the fuck away.
We throw it away. Like, you can just lick that up, homie.
It's, I wouldn't say lick, because then you have to like have person-to-person contact, and that might not be so great. But we could save this. Like, that's a green society.
I mean, like, if you're into that...
No, I'm not kink-shaming. I'm waste-shaming. This could be greener. The grass is greener on the other side. They don't call it a bush for nothing. It's green on that side. Our next question, because, you know, why not try to save this podcast, from our friend... Another one from our friend Nancy... who would win in a fight, Aang or Korra?
Korra.
Okay. I have no clue.
Because Aang is very, like, devoted to the airbender, like, peacefulness. Like, not necessarily, like...
Are you using Baby Aang or Korra Aang? She must be dead.
Well,
he must
either,
be dead by
like,
Aang, Korra, right?
He's dead by Korra because, obviously, like, he would have to reincarnate into Korra.
Oh, she's the Avatar?
She's Avatar.
Okay. I didn't watch it. I just thought she was awesome. Ruby. I thought she was a dope-ass waterbender.
She's...
No, she does get all the elements, huh?
Yeah.
Look, if Nickelodeon would have put it on TV, I could have watched it. Korra gets about as much screen time on Nickelodeon as any other show that's not Teen Titans Go gets on Cartoon Network, which is to say 3%. I wish that was a joke, but hey, guess it's not.
But,
Where's the T-Report?
I think that Aang is... Aang, like, he grew up in, like, the traditional airbender society and has that very, like, kind of, like, Buddhist, like, non-violence... thing.
Yeah, but
like,
he has the arrow that tells him which way to go.
I will use violence if I have to, but, like, ultimately I want to be nonviolent and find a nonviolent solution. But Korra, like, she struggles with airbending because she refuses to, like, not punch people. Like, that, like,
but
it's...
you're gonna hurt people. Well, you have to learn airbending.
You have
to
learn
fuck people up with airbending, right?
Yeah, but, like, airbending is a lot about, like...
Peace,
like, internal peace and, like... Not sacrifice, but, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, surrendering to...
Like, the Force.
The Force, basically. Okay. Like
letting... Going with the flow.
Like, going with the flow
Which
of the world.
You would think water is.
Yeah, versus, like...
I'm a blood man. Okay.
She's, like, very good at firebending. Firebending is Korra's, like, go-to
But she's a natural waterbender,
skill.
Right? Like,
her nationality is waterbenders. But, like...
I heard the struggle.
Like, the power that she, like, goes to the most is her firebending, which I think is very much her personality, is, like, kind of, like, fighty and, like, I know what's best.
What do you think Zuko would have been if he wasn't born in the Fire Nation? Do you think he would have still lent to fire? Like, if he was an Avatar, what do you think his talents would have been?
I think he still would have gone to firebending because he's, like... again, like, fighty and I know what's best is, like, his
But, I mean, I feel like the Uncle Iroh teachings, he seemed to be more mellowed out. I didn't watch it all, so that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, like, Iroh still, like, was... He had firebending, but he was mellow about it. Like,
Azula is definitely a firebender.
Oh, yeah.
And a Slytherin.
Yeah.
Well, J.K. Rowling. Slytherin. Yeah, like, she may have just been a Gryffindor, like, what up, fight me.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to fight me? Spoiler alert, I'm going to fight you. Okay, okay. I could see that. I don't know enough about either Avatar to guess, to question. Okay, we're going to jump back to another one from Count Obaka. What genre thing had the worst ending? And it has spoilers in parentheses. So what's something that you saw that's like in genre fiction that had like an ending? You're like, come on, man.
That's so hard. What do you know? What do you think?
Had a bad ending. I don't know. No. Yeah, me too. The thing that the worst... We both have to go to the bathroom, so there's a break. The worst ending... Okay. Resurrection F from Dragon Ball, probably Super, but Dragon Ball Z movie after Super started. Frieza figured out how to go golden, which is like the Frieza people equivalent of Super.
Uh-huh.
And he came down to Earth, and we find out that like Lord Beerus and his buddy can like time bend a little bit. And Frieza was fucking everybody up. But then Goku and Vegeta like, yo, dog, you can't hold this for him because you mastered it and then came to Earth. So we're going to kill you. And then Frieza like was able to... He, like, had a dude shoot Goku, and then he was able to blow up the Earth before Vegeta could stop him.
Mm.
So they said, Goku, you learned how to, like, not hesitate, so, you know, we're gonna take you back. And Goku hurried up and killed Frieza before Vegeta's like, oh, I've been waiting a long time for this. Like, you subjugated my people. I'm ready to waste your ass. And you killed me before. And then Goku takes it from him. Like, I would've just gave it to Vegeta. So Resurrection F had the worst ending, in my opinion.
Okay, I know.
What about you?
I know. So, worst ending, in my opinion, is... There were a lot of wonderful things about the ending of the Tenth Doctor's season, the Tenth Doctor's run. I can't remember the exact episode of the title or episode title, but it was the finale of David Tennant as the Doctor, and they brought back Rose, and they had all kind of things happening. But in that finale, Donna Noble is able to become through her. Programming powers is able to kind of like tap into Time Lord powers and is briefly connected to like the Time Lord continuum. Like, she's so smart and so good and so wonderful, and in order to save her from herself, the Doctor has to not only take that power away from her but also take all of her memories of traveling with the Doctor away from her.
Because she's a woman, right?
Because she's a woman.
Okay.
But it's so shitty because the whole arc of her plot is that, like, Donna is not anyone in the world. She's a temp. She's a temp from Ipswich, which is, like,
a suburb
of London. And, like, no one cares about her or what she can do. And her whole arc is overcoming is realizing that a temp from Ipswich can do literally anything in the world.
Anything.
She can save humanity.
Humanity.
And then the Doctor literally mind rapes her and takes away all of everything, like all of this ability, all of her memories of the things that have made her special, and puts her back in the place that she started.
Who wrote that?
A man.
Oh, yes, obviously. Which man?
Sadly, it was Russell T. Davies and not Stephen Moffat.
Oh, wasn't the man who wrote Sherlock?
No, that's Stephen Moffat.
Okay.
But that's...
I was going to reference a good video about Sherlock.
Because, Stephen Moffat went on to write a bunch of other horrible plot lines, sex plot lines in Doctor Who, but Russell T. Davies was, like, the man who brought Doctor Who back to the modern era, and he did so many wonderful things, but this particular thing was very awful, and I hated it. And that is the worst ending of an arc of something genre that I can think of.
Gotcha. So we have two more questions, but I have one question for you, Steph.
Dear readers,
Who likes it in the butt more? Sailor Moon and Tuxedo Mask. I'm not one of those. Sailor Moon and Tuxedo Mask.
Tuxedo Mask.
Yeah, you're right.
That's true. Okay, so we have... I'm going to go the easier one first, and then the other one. So from Sadmin, from a Discord that I'm in, I don't know the real name. If you could bring back one dead video game franchise, what do you pick?
Spyro.
You pick Spyro?
I love Spyro.
That's fair. And I pick Metal Arms, Glitch in the System.
I don't know what that is.
It's like a little robot. It's a robot game. Metal Arms. It's from Sierra. And the last question, which is going to take some work from our buddy Mike. If Luke, Rey, and Kylo Ren were Pokemon trainers, what would their Pokemon be? So luckily, we talked about this before.
We tried this out a bit before. I had said, I think, Cubone or a Marowak for Rey. Because it has it also has parental issues.
Kind of sandy.
Desert kind of thing, and it fights with a stick.
I think you said, we agreed.
Kylo Ren
would have a Houndoom, because that's an edgy-ass Pokemon.
As edgy as you can get as a Pokemon.
Like, maybe, pretty Houndoom, OP. Probably
like
Scyther.
Houndour would not be
too
as...
cute.
Yeah, Houndour's too
Hux
cute.
Hux might have a Houndour.
Yeah.
But, like, he probably also have a Scyther, too, because that's pretty edgy.
Yeah.
And then...
I feel like maybe Sandshrew for Luke, but maybe something a little more...
Like, in touch with, like, four stuff.
Yeah, maybe, like, Abra or something.
Whatever that one world... It's, like, from Gen 3 or 4. It's, like, kind of purple with, like, pink, like, thick... Like, these weird thick thighs and a skinny body. It's, like, psychic fighting type. He's, like, weird lips. I don't know it.
I'm not sure, but that sounds gay, so it's probably good for Luke.
It's also... Kind of, yeah. It's either Gen 3 or 4. I caught one. I didn't like it. It has, like, weird defensive moves. But, but it stands, like, in, like, a karate pose, but it's also psychic type.
Interesting. He'd have I'm not one sure of those. What it is, but whatever that is, that would be a Luke Pokemon.
I could find it, but I'm not gonna, because it's been a long day. Maybe a Hitmontop.
Hitmontop, yeah, they do like a little dancey thing, and they're like,
Hitmontops?
Yeah,
whatever. Do they spin on their top head?
I don't know if they spin on their top head, but...
In Pokemon Go, at least, because I know in the games, they were on their head.
But they, they're like resting pose in the, like, when you're like, look at them in your Pokedex, is like a kind of like dancey thing. And I appreciate it.
That feels fair. And there's no, like...
They're chill.
There's no, like, lightsaber Pokemon. There's a few sword ones in the new two, but I'm gonna just skip those.
Where's this Hitmontop?
Hold yeah, up. Find the Hitmontop in your...
In my...
Godex. Pokegodex.
Pokegodex.
Pokegay.
Pokegaymon. Ladybug, where are you, homie?
Do you have a favorite Pokemon, by the way? One of my favorites is, like, Ampharos and Luxray.
I mean, I like...
Maybe Luxio.
I don't know a lot. Here's Hitmontop. See, he just does, like, this little dancy biz.
Ooh, I like that. That's cool.
Why is he not on his head? He's got very, very V-neck.
Yeah, it's like a singlet, I guess, from wrestling.
Yeah.
Why is he not spinning on his head, which is a top? That's his whole thing.
IDK, homie. IDK.
That's cool. That's cool. But I like seeing Pokemon in these three dimensions, though. That is nice.
Yeah, if I had to pick a fave, that would be very difficult.
So I'm just stalling because I think that's all of our questions.
Is it all of our questions?
That is all 12 of the questions we had, 12 or 13.
If I had to pick a fave, what would yours be?
Was it?
What would yours fave be?
Oh, like I said, Ampharos, Luxio, Luxray, which is from the 4th gen, but Ampharos is from 2nd.
I don't know.
I guess, you know, while we're still, any, you know, before we end up, anything you're looking forward to this year, next year?
Black Panther's media? Gonna be good.
Oh, damn it. Like, it's gonna be so good, Black
it's
Panther. I can't
so
wait to
so good.
I'm looking forward to Iconoclasts so much. I really want to play that game. We talked about it in the last episode, I think, so.
Ooh, I'm tired now.
You got yawning at 6:30 p.m.
Yawning at 6:30 is because I drank a whole bottle of wine and another beer.
You did. So, I think that's a good wrap-up for our holiday special, right?
Yeah, I think so.
No need to draw it out.
Guys, I think I like Pikachu the most. No, that's a lie. We're going to go with...
I mean, there's a lot of good Pokemon.
There's so many good Pokemon.
I'm glad they toned Jinx down.
Yeah, she's a little chiller now.
What's your favorite Eevee? Let's make it simple.
Favorite Eevee?
Because Jolteon's my favorite by far.
I like Vaporeon from the originals, but I think I like Umbreon or Sylveon for the varieties.
The extended class.
The extended classes. Also, I just caught a deli bird today for the first time.
You know, that's not a sack. That's its tail.
What?
That's its tail that it's holding.
The deli bird?
Yeah, that's not a sack. That's its tail.
What a weird little...
Can you spin them around? That's its tail. That's attached.
It's a weird little critter.
I thought that was a sack this whole time. Because sometimes Pokemon will have items, you know?
Yeah, so Abra is like one of the like highest like runaway rates of all the Pokemon.
Yeah, because
like,
it has teleport.
Yeah,
I have teleport and I'm willing to use it.
Since they introduced a new Pokemon, I have not even seen... Apparently, a Delibird is a Johto Pokemon.
Yes.
But I have not even seen a Delibird until they started introducing the Hoenn Pokemon.
Because it was in that ice cave that has a really good song.
And,
it's in Gold and Silver. But it's rare.
One out of five of my Delibirds have run away. I've only caught one.
I mean, is it because it's a Christmas Pokemon? They wait for it to pop up in the winter?
And also, like, they just introduced weather to Pokemon Go, so, like... Pokemon that are like right now it's windy and cloudy, so like Pokemon that are normal and rock, I guess, will show up.
Yeah, I feel like Delibird is very tied to ice, like caves, winter, Christmassy stuff.
Ooh, Zigzagoon.
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 You're getting it live, listeners.
You're getting it live, just trying to catch this one.
Yeah, anything you're looking forward to? Anything from the end of the year? I mean, like I said, Iconoclast, Black Panther, Overwatch League.
The 2018 elections.
We got one more year of podcasting, you know, since we're talking about milestones, thank you, listeners, so much for sticking through so much with us. We appreciate
for real.
We've had some loyal people, and that means a lot. People that pop in and out, a lot of love from Japan, a lot of love from some local friends, and it's been great.
We're into it.
So, I mean, as far as social media biz, anywhere, Brother Dom, spelled phonetically, not brother, brother. You know, you got Captain Steph on the Twitters. You know,
Snowqueer on the Tumblrs. Mm.
That's good. You can find a Character Reveal anywhere you look. On Twitter, it'll be Character Rev. That's two R's in the middle. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Google Play Podcasts. You know, CharacterReveal.Simplecast.fm and Patreon.com/CharacterReveal. And, you know, we'd love to hear from you. Give those ratings, comments, reviews. You know, appreciate it, though. You know, let the car go by outside and... Like we always say, until next time, see you later.
Bye.
And that's a wrap. Happy New Year.
We did the thing.